You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey, kids.
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's dance-off, bro. Me and you.
Hello, and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
I'm Sam Tweedle.
Chris Gilpin.
And we're going to have a nerdy and sexy night.
All right. Not in that order.
No, not necessarily.
No, I think in that order, actually.
All right. Do you want to get the sexy on
sexy.
First?
No.
No.
We'll save the sexy for last, hopefully off air.
And when we're not in each other's company.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Anyways, most awkward beginning to any of our shows.
I'm sure we can. I think we can up the awkward before we're done.
Let's just say we did.
Okay. Yeah. So are you guys doing good? You doing good, Chris?
Good. I don't think I can hear my headphones, but that's all right. I can hear you.
I can hear you too. And I don't even wear
headphones. Oh,
there we go.
Hello.
Yeah, all Sam right. doesn't ever wear headphones, so he's the only one that's oblivious to the amount of noise we're all making.
Yes.
Because you hear lots of things through the microphone that you don't hear.
Yeah.
So, in the studio.
It's funny. It seems like last week, we had a great show last week, and we talked about so many things, and I was like, I didn't even get to talk about any things I wanted to talk about, and now I don't remember what I was going to talk about at all. And I will admit, too, that I've had such a crazy week. I was very, very ill this week, actually. I don't know if you guys saw that on my Facebook post, but I was suffering of the flu and a little bit of bronchitis.
And now you're sitting in here in this closed room with us.
Yeah, well, because I'm better.
Okay.
I wouldn't come and make you guys sick, right?
I'm sure that other booth isn't working.
I don't want to start the next SARS epidemic, okay? And you know the only way...
So we're definitely not getting sexy in here.
Move a little bit over that way.
And you know the only way to cure SARS, right? Okay, do you remember, what year was it when SARS, killed off 95% of Toronto?
I don't know.
Okay. And, you went to Toronto, it was literally like the opening scenes of Walking Dead, where there was, nobody. Right. Yeah. All right. Well, and there was SARS. It was SARS. Nobody would come to Toronto because people were dying in the streets of Toronto. And all of a sudden, Justin Timberlake came and he did a concert, and then everybody got better.
Well, there you go.
So that's all it takes. I'm not going to start the next because I don't want to listen to Justin Timberlake. So yeah, anyway,
right. A fictionalized history of SARS by Sam Tweedle.
That's right.
SARS never killed anybody.
Anyways,
name one person SARS. Name one famous person SARS ever killed. Name one famous person never died of SARS. You can't.
All right.
You can't. I don't know what, the Where's the Beef woman or something. I don't know. Anyways, what'd she die of? We don't know. Mad cow disease? I don't know. Anyways.
That's a better guess.
That's a better Anyway, let's comics. So anyways, I was very, very ill. And as a result of that, I didn't read very many comics. And I have no idea what's going on in the comic world today. So you guys need to educate me and fill me in. And I'll just make commentary on whatever you talk about.
But we rely on you.
I know.
You're our go-to rant machine.
I have a feeling. Oh, I'll rant. I have a feeling you just got to lead me to the rant, my friends. Lead me to the rants. Can I tell you what I did do this week, though? Even though I was dying,
please.
This is going to be very interesting. It's comic related and it's local. How often do we do that? Even though I was dying, literally dying, I was invited to go to PCVS, where there is a local theater company called Enter Stage Right. And it is run by a wonderful brother-sister team named Jen and Greg Nugent. And they, and I hope I just pronounced their name right, and they, each year, they write an original musical and they put it on to kids for teenage high school students whose schools aren't doing musicals. They don't have a strong arts program. They open the doors to them to put on a musical. Well, this year they are doing a show that Jen wrote called "Everybody Loves Archie."
Ah.
So, knowing that I was an Archie fan, they brought me in to talk to the kids about Archie. And also, I'm a theater critic, right? So that kind of comes in there. And, of course, I told these kids at the end of the thing, I was like, don't worry. Like, I'm so biased right now. You guys can, like, really screw this up. And as long as it's not Riverdale, so I'm probably going to love it.
You know who else really loves Archie?
What?
Mrs. Grundy.
Apparently. So anyways.
Although apparently she's not Mrs. Grundy.
So anyways, as you guys know, I can talk about Archie all day. So I actually was in with this very, very bright group of maybe I think about 17 or 18 students. Extremely talented. A lot of high energy, and we talked Archie. Like, I showed up a lot of my collectibles and stuff, and all of them wanted their insights on their character.
Oh yeah.
And Jen has brought some pretty obscure characters into the fold. So here I'm talking to the kids, and you know, and Veronica wanted to know what I thought about Veronica, and you know, Betty wanted to know what I thought about Betty, and Midge, Moose, Dilton, and you know, so on and so forth. Unfortunately, there were some characters that were so obscure that I was just like, it's like, oh, yeah, I'm playing Adam. Oh, really?
I'm playing student number 74.
You know what I mean? I was just like, but I was really impressed with this group of kids. I had such a great time with them. Of course, I got to talk about Archie and show off some of my original art. I brought in Die Kitty Die and showed them what Fernando and Dan's doing. Okay. And brought in, like, my lunch boxes, my records, my dolls, my stuff. And they were great. And I didn't get to see a lot of they showed me a few scenes that they were working on, and but mainly the scenes I was seeing involved Jughead, Ethel, and Dilton, and the kids playing those characters are so good. The kid playing Jughead, he looks like him, except without the nose, and he said he's never watched the 1960s cartoon series, but he's literally doing the voice from that series. The girl playing Ethel is so funny and so wonderful. Way too cute to actually be Big Ethel, but yeah, they can do a lot with makeup. Yeah. Dilton had a vocabulary I didn't even understand what was going on. Right. But this show, I'm really excited about the show. I'm really excited to see what the kids do, and I'll update you guys as it goes on. It's being, I think, the end of April, I think, is when it's gonna go on at PCVS. So cool. I'll have some updates on that. But I really big thanks to Jen and Greg for bringing me in, let me talk Archie with the kids.
Nice.
And oh, I'll say the kid that they got playing Reggie, that kid walked in. I looked at him. I'm like, that kid's playing Reggie, isn't it? Like, he looked exactly like the comic character.
Yeah.
Like, nice kid, but he's like not like Reggie. But yeah. I mean, they found a kid who just looked like Reggie. It was pretty amazing. So yeah, that, so, and I probably gave every one of those kids SARS, and there's gonna be no
the show is canceled
because I was so
Sam ruined everything.
I was so sick. But and then of course I'm showing them the original art, like I'm touching it and I'm passing it around, and they're like, I probably infected them all. Oh my god. I'm like the infected monkey that dooms the rest of the planet.
You'll have Dustin Hoffman coming after you.
No, I don't.
Cuba Gooding. In a helicopter.
That. I haven't forgiven Cuba Gooding ever since that stupid rat race movie. You know what I mean? I kind of liked him, and then he did Rat Race, and everybody who did Rat Race just hated everybody. But Cuba Gooding, I didn't forgive him for that. It was like, really? You won an Oscar, my friend.
Yeah.
Now you're in Rat Race. Really?
Lots of people who win Oscars do terrible movies afterwards.
I understand that, but
I think they have contracts, right? They sign up for three pictures, and they do a couple good ones, and then whatever the third one is, they just have to do it.
The Rat Race. Who was the band at the end of Rat Race? I hate that band. Smash Mouth. Gotta hate that band so much. Not as much as I hate Nickelback. Definitely not as much as I hate Bieber, but pretty close. I mean that'd be my trilogy of evil right there. It's Bieber, Nickelback, and Smash Mouth.
Should we make a new theme up? Like, just, hey kids, things Sam hates.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, let's talk about comics. I don't even know what I'm going on about anymore. All right.
Neither do we.
All right.
All right.
All right.
It's a big day today. Logan.
Logan. Yeah, I am Logan so excited. The theater. I'm so excited. I'm going, I think I'm going Sunday night. Man. After work, yeah. Yeah, you guys, when are you guys
I don't
going?
Know yet. Don't
hey,
know
do you know, what are you doing Sunday night after I get off work?
I don't, I'm in Toronto all day Sunday, so yeah, I'm not sure.
And I don't, I'm going to be going to like the last show.
Oh, yeah.
Because I get off at work at like 10 p.m.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Okay. That's past my bedtime.
Can't wait, though. I'm so excited. And when was the last time you guys heard me say I'm excited about a comic book movie?
Not since the beginning of the show.
Well,
like this show.
I was
going to
say Gem and the Holograms, but that's not more.
Not
of a...
not this current episode.
Okay, because I don't remember last time. I was excited.
I think one of our first shows, you were talking about how you hated every superhero movie.
I do.
I'll find the audio.
Yeah, I love this movie. Looks so awesome. And you know what's funny? I didn't like the first two Wolverine movies.
Yeah.
At all.
I mean, the first Wolverine movie is kind of
horrible,
universally panned.
Mm. Yes.
As just a mishmash of garbage.
Yeah. Yes.
So I actually haven't seen Wolverine, the second one.
It's much better than the first one, for sure.
If I saw it at all, I don't remember, or I didn't finish it.
A lot of it happens in Japan. Silver Samurai.
I think I saw that.
Yeah,
but
it was
I
on TV the other night.
I don't think I finished it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last weekend, they were doing back-to-back... Days of Future Past and then the Wolverine.
Okay.
On one of the channels.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to this. We've talked about this on the show, everything for the trailer, but also I'm really enjoying All New Wolverine and Old Man Logan right now. They're two of my favorite books at Marvel. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I'm buying them in trades. Mm. But they're two of my favorite books, and the fact that we're taking these characters and putting them on screen, I'm pretty... And I know it doesn't follow the timeline or the story or probably makes any sense at all, but... I don't know, man. Bring it on. I'm willing to buy it.
Yeah.
Seems like it's, you know, getting good reviews mm-hmm. from the pre-screens and stuff, so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Another R-rated. Yeah,
I'm okay with that. Movie. Yeah. Yep. So I saw something about online where they were, like, putting out, like, ads, you know, just to remind you that.
Yeah.
Not to bring the kids, yeah, you know.
This is not for children.
Wasn't it that Ryan Reynolds did, like, a whole commercial as Deadpool? Telling you not to bring your kids, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember one of the most horrible things I ever saw as a theater watcher is when I went to the remake of The Woman in Black with Daniel Radcliffe. And the original movie, Woman in Black movie, to me, it's actually, I have reoccurring nightmares about the original Woman in Black film. And the remake wasn't as scary, but it was definitely more intense. And I remember watching a mother and drag her three crying children out of the theater as, you know, we watched a body burn up in flames.
Yeah.
And it's like, what, did you just bring your children? You thought, oh, Harry Potter's in this. I will bring my kids. It'll be great. Yeah. You know, it's like, really?
Yeah.
Like, did you not, like, read a synopsis of this film? It's about a ghost that kills children. Okay, like.
Emma was young, but not that young. She was really liking the music from Jersey Boys.
So. Okay, yeah.
What's the band?
Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons.
Yes. Yeah. So I took her to see Jersey Boys.
Yeah.
And there's signs all over. Warning, language, yeah. Right. So there's a couple in front of us with two little boys.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I can't believe they keep saying that. They keep using those. Not, that's so bad language. I can't believe that. Like the whole time, right? I'm like, did you not... read the signs on your way in? Like,
oh, yeah. Come on. Do your research.
Yeah.
Do your research. Right?
Like, the music is great.
Oh, look, it's Harry Potter.
Oh, is that well,
a... Nobody no. can... No, nothing horrible must happen in this film.
Yeah.
You know? So anyways, parents, if you're thinking about bringing your children to Logan this weekend...
First, have them watch Deadpool.
Yeah, at least, you know, or just take a second and Marty's going to totally edit this part out right here. Just take a moment and do your research and figure out where your child is emotionally mature wise. Can they handle graphic violence and a lot of cursing? And if so, hey, I know people that have 8-year-olds that would love that.
Yeah.
But I know when I was 8, it would have, like, really upset me.
Yeah.
So.
And yeah. It's probably more, well, it is the violence and probably language, but the fact that however old she is, mm-hmm. it's almost like a Hit Girl, right?
Yeah.
You've got this little girl that's going around killing people.
It's going to be
Hit. Which was awesome.
It's going to be Hit Girl without the comedy.
Yeah.
I can't wait though. It's gonna be. I'm really excited about this film. Yeah. Yeah. So, one thing I noticed online today, I didn't know what it was, but once I read about it, I could hear Marty's eyes twitching from where I was. Is this, what's this thing called? The Make Marvel, Mind
the
Marvel.
The all new Marvel Make Mine Marvel Now 0.05.
Yeah.
Make Mine Marvel.
I'm reading this and I'm just listening. Like, I can just hear Marty's brain exploding as I'm reading this article.
I didn't even read it. I couldn't.
Okay. So, I'm reading this article. And I'm like, but you know what? I think with me, I just don't care.
Yeah.
Like, whatever Marvel decides to do at this point, like, I'm reading the stories and I like what I like. And if they want to renumber everything, like, it's like, I just don't care. But are they renumbering everything or just just the legacy books?
Like, it depends, maybe. Like, you know, because Marty's first, maybe we should say what the Make Mine Marvel idea is, and that's that they're going to renumber everything. They're going to relaunch the titles again, but with their legacy numbers. So it is a relaunch. Like, according to Bleeding Cool, Make Mine Marvel will relaunch titles, but not with the number one, with their legacy numbers. So could be
Thor's going to be at something like 700.
But it could ruin whatever storylines are going. That's what Marty's afraid of.
I don't care.
Well, what I'm about just wondering if you know, old man Logan that you love so much isn't a legacy character.
Yeah.
Well, so what if he disappears?
Well, they're already talking about bringing Wolverine back.
You know what? It's just I'm going to enjoy this story till where it's done, and then I'll just have one more book less that I have to buy every month. That's the way I feel about it. You know, I'm at the point right now in my comic reading where I'm so... Look, I like what I like, and I'm enjoying my books every month, but if any of the books that I read got canceled, I wouldn't care.
You just read something else?
I would just read something else. Nothing would break my heart if it was canceled. Like, I think in my top books right now, which I would say would be Walking Dead.
Just Walking Dead, I guess.
Walking Dead, Black Hammer... maybe Kill or Be Killed. You know, some of the stuff I'm really enjoying. Like, if any of these things were canceled, I'd be cool. I don't seem to have the love for these books. And maybe that's part of the problem, is because when we were reading these books and they were 300 issues in, and we'd been reading that run for 10, 15 years, when we got to the end of a book, it was like losing a friend.
Yeah.
Now we don't have time to become emotionally involved in a 15-issue arc.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if it's 5 months late.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Like, I think I was more devastated with the end of, like, the, you know, the classic Archie run, because that was like a friend.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying the new stuff, which is so weird that I can say that. But the truth is, if they ended it tomorrow, I'd be like, meh. And then, because then what it would be do is we just know that that's because Archie fell apart and now some other company's going to buy it and resurrect the good stuff. But anyway.
Well, like Invincible. Yeah. It's ending.
Okay.
Right? So there's the new 10-issue arc just started last week to finish off the title. Huh? I'm disappointed, but it's just like it's played itself out.
Yeah.
Right? Like it's kind of slowed down quite a bit and... You know, some of the original bad guys are back to wrap it up, and it's just like, yeah, okay, well, you know, that's fine. Huh. At least we know it's ending, and there's, you know.
Like, I remember there was a time where I would see a final issue, you know, you'd read through previews, and you'd see final issue, and you would, like, you'd scream in horror.
Yeah.
Now I see final issue, and I'm like, woo, my budget's going to improve.
Yeah. And then the next preview is number one.
I'm like, oh,
darn it.
Yeah, you know, but it's different. We just don't have... I find that's the way I am. I just don't have the same emotional connection to titles. Not like I do, say, characters.
Yeah.
You know, characters I still have that emotional attachment to. But titles, and no comic has... like, we can talk about some legendary teams that wrote or drew comics, but we just don't have them. Like,
no.
I'm thinking, like, Gail Simone did a really great long run on Birds of Prey, which was phenomenal. And when she left, I was very upset. I was like, oh. And Birds of Prey, I've read it ever since. It's never been as good. It's had some moments of, it's had some really bad moments. Oh my God, New 52, Birds of Prey. Yeah. But it's never been as good as when Gail Simone wrote it. Yeah. Who is the guy? Is he still writing Spidey? What's his nuts? Spider-Man.
Which guy are you talking about?
Which like Spider-Man are you talking about?
Dan Slott. Yeah. Thank you. And Dan Slott's Spider-Man, he had like an amazing run. Is he still doing Spider-Man?
I think he may be doing a Spider-Man title. I don't know.
I think he is doing the main I'm Tony Stark.
Tony Stark Spider. Maybe. Yeah. You know what? If they relaunch it with Legacy Spider-Man, maybe they'll get rid of that stupid Spider-Man.
Maybe
they'll bring back Spider-Man to being like our Spider-Man. I don't know. But you know, but there's a guy. There's an example though. Even though I'm not reading his Spider-Man, there's a guy who's been doing it forever.
Yeah.
See, he said that's the kind of dedication to a character and a writer that we are missing in today's comics.
Like, you know, I mentioned the other day, Geoff Johns on Green Lantern.
Yeah.
You know, like he had a 70 issue run or something on Green Lantern.
I think he did over 100 issues of Justice Society.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you know, like those. Having that run is just as good.
Unbelievably important. Yeah. And we just don't see
it,
that.
But you know what it is? It's because it's the consistency then. Because you know Gail Simone is going to write Birds of Prey you like.
Yeah.
If there's an issue that's bad, it's just one issue that's bad. It's not like just arc after arc of garbage. Mm-hmm. Geoff Johns, you know he's going to write Green Lantern and you're going to like it.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Chris Claremont, Uncanny X-Men.
Yeah.
It doesn't get any better than that, as far as I'm concerned.
Bendis?
Pass!
Boom.
Pass.
Oh, bazam!
No.
Actually. He has, I will say, though, in all honesty, Bendis's Daredevil was an amazing run. And I mean, we can talk about, you know, I know that I appreciate Bendis. I'm not enjoying the Bendis stuff I'm reading right now, I'll admit. It's a little weak, but... Bendis on Daredevil was one of the great, like, I think he had over 100 issues of Daredevil, and it was, or back when Garth Ennis, doing whatever Garth Ennis writes, he'll usually do a good 100 issues or so of something. Punisher, The Boys, Preacher, I guess they never quite made 100, but you got a good 75 issues, which was, you know, and that's why books like Preacher... Or Kirkman on Walking Dead.
Yeah.
That's why they get the followings they got. It's because you have that solid writing. You got those runs. They understand the characters. When they write, like, I mean, they bleed those characters all over their keyboard.
Yeah.
And it's important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Do we want to talk about Walking Dead this week, or is Dan ready yet?
I haven't read it yet either.
But you can spoil it for me. I don't care.
I
think this could be a spoiler that kills Sam.
I'm not going to get it until.
Oh, did you read it, Dan?
I didn't. I read a Bleeding spoiled. Cool article.
Okay,
spoil myself.
Look, I'm not going to get it until like Tuesday. So you might as well. The whole world knows except me. It's okay. What is it? I want to know.
I'm going to turn Sam's mic off, just so he doesn't yell profanity.
A major character got bitten.
Okay, who?
Andrew.
Do I need to turn your mic off?
I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good.
But I didn't like the article. I mean, the article that you posted sounded like somebody got attacked by zombies and ripped to shreds.
Yeah.
Right? Not this little last...
Because that was a preview article or something.
Yeah. It was the last panel, and she's going, uh-oh. And she's got a bite mark in the side.
Okay.
It could have been a horse that bit her, for all we know.
Like, well, here's the thing.
Or Negan. I don't know.
I mean, I wouldn't put it past him.
I'm good. Yeah. I'm good with that. Now, Andrea is one of my favorites, but that's a little bit better way for them to do her off than what they did in the show.
Oh, yeah. Get me started.
All right. So that's good. I was kind of hoping you were going to say it was
Rick.
Rick, yeah.
I thought like it when Bleeding Cool was teasing like somebody huge. I was like, this is it. This is Rick's.
We've been waiting for Rick for a while. Yeah.
I get the feeling it's due for a major change again.
Yeah.
Like when they did that 2-year jump or whatever it was, 2 or 3 year jump, I was shocked. But then after a while, it's like, yeah, that was kind of needed.
Mm-hmm.
So
but now if they do in Andrea, I can't. Now it's like I always figured that they would kill off Rick and then Andrea would kind of become the new Rick. So if they kill off Andrea and then they kill off Rick, well, who's going to be the new Rick?
Negan.
Negan. Negan will not be the new.
Have you? Are you?
Yeah, I am up to, except for the latest issue.
Okay,
because
like I mean,
yes.
Negan. They're starting the redemption of Negan.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
The same way Geoff Johns did the redemption of Sinestro. I see parallels
right.
here.
The last issue I read, which was the one before this issue, like and Rick and Negan were trapped in that
in the house
together. I mean, that was an amazing issue, and I just loved it. Negan. You know, Negan's become one of the most complex characters in comics.
Yeah.
He's such an amazing, interesting
for
character.
Sure.
And I know everybody's like, you know, I know all the fanboys and the fangirls that are watching the TV show are just all kooky over him. But they're
Christine,
still...
we're looking in your direction, Christine.
But the thing is they're not understanding Negan because he's incredibly two-dimensional compared to in the show. In the book, I wouldn't even call him three-dimensional. I'd call him like fifth-dimensional. Yeah. You know, he's so all over the place. And we can't figure him out.
Yeah.
Like, it's insane, and it makes you want to keep reading. But yeah. I can't ever see him becoming the main character.
Well, it's funny, because last episode, Walking Dead, did we all watch that?
No, I fell off
the wagon. Of course I haven't, Chris.
I've missed the last
episode.
Look who you're talking to.
All right. Well, Negan did something very, very bad, and I walked by Christina and said, "How's your Negan now?"
What did
like,
he do, Chris?
He's so dreamy. Yeah. I tossed the guy into a furnace. An innocent guy, by the way, but, you know, somebody told him he did something wrong, so you have to kill him.
Oh, come on, Chris. We've all tossed somebody into a furnace at one point or another. I tossed a guy into a furnace just the other day.
That's right.
But just, like, talking about the two-dimensionalness of Negan on screen, though, like, he's only been around for a few episodes, whereas in the comic books, Negan's been around for 65 issues.
But let's bring it up. Let's talk seriously for a second here. How many of the episodes is as three-dimensional as like an issue of the comic? Every character
they're actually more three-dimensional because they're shot in three dimensions.
No, but character-wise, they're completely 2D. Okay.
I'm sorry. Are we talking the show or
the show? Oh. Yeah, compared to the book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
You know what's funny though is when Chris was talking about like, or you said something like, "Well, what's Rick gonna do if Andrew's gone?" And I was like, "Well, he's gonna run out and start killing zombies until he collapses. That's what he does every time somebody close to him gets hurt."
Yeah.
In the show.
In the show.
In the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. He runs out and just kills zombies in a haze for however long until he collapses. Yeah. That's how he takes his frustration out on stuff.
In the book, like Rick is a messed up in the head guy. Like, I mean, he's not right. And I love that about the character in the book. Like, in the show, he's still kind of the hero. And in the book, he's so on the brink of madness.
Yeah.
Like remember...
Well, he's been there and back again, right? In the book.
Yeah. But, I mean, the whole thing with the phone.
Yeah.
And then wasn't the one time where you actually saw where, like, beat the snot out of some guy who was, like, just...
Oh, I'm
some,
sure.
Some, it was just one of his guys, basically. He was, like, supposed to be on guard, but he wasn't doing his job. And Rick just kicked the crap out of him for, you know, being lazy or something like that. Like, he was just... He's crazy. Like,
and
he
threw a guy in a furnace.
Oh, he threw a guy in a furnace, right? That's why Marty's not here today, is because I threw him in a furnace.
That's
I wouldn't do that to him.
But everybody else, watch out. There's a furnace around.
No, that's
fair game.
It was an interesting episode last weekend, though. Sorry, Dan, did you say you watch it?
No, I've fallen behind now, so.
Very Eugene-centric.
Oh, yeah? So
it was funny. It was good.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yep.
Speaking of, like, I don't know what happened in the new issue of Walking Dead, because I haven't read that one either, but, like, Eugene has this, he's talking to somebody in secret in the comic book, right?
Yeah, on the radio.
He's about to get found out, if he hasn't already, in the one that I haven't read, because some people took shelter in his house, remember?
Yeah.
And you could see the radio in the background, and I was like, it's coming, Eugene.
Who do you think that is?
Probably the people who are attacking them. Would be my guess.
Mm-hmm.
You see the people who are watching the horde.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah,
the mysterious people that always show up.
That's right, and you know who's going to be in those mysterious people? Daryl Dixon. Oh, yeah. He's totally coming.
Well,
he's coming.
We're
getting rid of Andrea,
say,
so it's like, oh, who's going to be the new Andrea? And all of a sudden, Daryl's going to ride up in that motorbike.
When Chris said that Andrea could have been bitten by a horse, I was going to say, I think Daryl did it.
Yeah, Daryl.
There you go.
Yeah.
Did I ever tell you about the time I accidentally snubbed Norman Reedus?
Yes.
Okay, never mind then.
You did.
Yeah, that was too bad. He wasn't even on Walking Dead at the time. Or if he wasn't, I just didn't care. I'm not really sure what it was. He just meant nothing to me at the time.
So. And he still doesn't.
Well, no. Actually, it's funny about Norman Reedus. I actually know of... I've had a lot of... friends and family of mine have actually had really amazing encounters with Norman Reedus. And my friend Maul, for instance, who's in Toronto, she works Fan Expo all the time. Mm-hmm. And, like, she's one of the regular workers there. And she's a really good friend, dear friend of mine. And she's in love with Norman Reedus. So every time he does a Toronto event, which, let's face it, it's all the time. He's in Toronto constantly. Maul is pretty much one of the people who is on with him,
right,
because they've kind of gotten to know and like each other, right? And so she's always, and she's so devoted to this guy, and she's a really hard judge character, and she's literally in love with him, like most women. But to actually know somebody and still be in love with them, you know what I mean? Like, it's not just the character, but it's the way.
Has she punched out any overly aggressive fangirls?
She could. Have you met my friend Maul?
I don't think so.
Oh yeah, she could. I wouldn't want to stare her down. She'd end you.
No.
You know, I'll have to introduce you guys sometime.
She's like one of the people that sits next to the celebrities or around.
She's usually one of the ones, like one of the people who are more guarding. So people.
She's not that 3 foot short lady that yells at everybody, is she?
Oh my gosh.
She scares me.
She's scary, man. She's like oh yeah. Oh no. She is scary.
She is very scary.
A very small little woman.
Yeah.
I know a few of the people who do those jobs. Like, I know a couple of them personally, and like there's Cindy, I'm trying to think what Cindy's last name is. She's on my Facebook. She's a regular doing this, and I wouldn't want to get in the Cindy's way. Cindy's probably about 65 years old, and she will punch you in the face. You get too close to her celebrity, you are going down, you know? Yeah, Maul could take you out. Yeah. Oh yeah, there's no doubt about it. But she's not the one you're talking about. But another cute story, I have a cousin, my cousin Cheryl, and her little girl, Jasmine, watches Walking Dead. And Jasmine, I think she's only like 12 or something now. And when she was a little girl, about 8 or 9, there was a Walking Dead convention, and Jasmine's in love with Norman Reedus. And she was about 8 or 9, and they drove her, and it was her birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And Norman Reedus just gave her all this loot for free, and
nice.
You know, took pictures and was just like so nice to her because she was just this little girl having a birthday and wanted to meet Norman Reedus for her birthday. And
yeah.
He totally ate it up. I think he's a good, decent guy. And I'm sorry I snubbed him. I didn't know. If I knew at the time.
And Daryl Dixon is a great character.
I'm sure. I don't have a relationship with Daryl Dixon because he's not in the books. So hashtag not my Walking Dead. Oh, yeah.
So you don't know anything about the garbage people? Yeah.
No.
You, Dan? No. How far behind are you, sir?
In
which?
In
the TV show?
Two episodes. Saw the premiere. Fall, winter premiere, whatever, and then I missed the last two.
The only thing I remember of Garbage People is like the Great Trashy from Fraggle Rock.
It's pretty close.
Yeah.
They're pretty close, but they're very organized and synchronized and weird. Anyway.
Yeah. Speaking of weird things, I've been looking for a segue into the DC versus Looney Tunes comics.
Oh my God.
Some
of these are brilliant. No, you know, I've never been too interested in these Looney Tune things, right? And then they did the whole thing with Snagglepuss and the suicides. But some of these here, I think I'm planning on buying all of these except for one. There's one that does not interest me. Every single other one I am so on board with. Here, I can't read it because I'm blind. You read it.
First one is a Batman Elmer Fudd special.
I know! Oh my God!
Written by Tom King.
Read the description. This is brilliant.
I'm trying.
This because it makes sense. This story is so plausible.
Okay. It is very plausible.
That's what's so brilliant about it.
After a chance meeting with billionaire Bruce Wayne, multimillionaire Elmer Fudd, his obsession quickly escalates into stalking Batman through the dark alleys and high-class social settings of Gotham City.
You know what could happen.
For sure.
I love it.
That is the worst idea ever heard.
It's not a terrible idea. It's brilliant.
He's got the double-barreled shotgun.
I didn't say terrible. I said it's the worst. And then there's this one makes more sense.
But he'll have the hat, right? And the double barrel
better.
Shotgun.
Yeah. Better.
In the so high class social settings.
I don't know. Elmer Fudd is a millionaire. Like, in the cartoons, he was
very,
rich.
Very quiet.
That
rich,
would explain yes. why he was just hunting all the time.
That's right. He didn't have to work.
The Jonah Hex in Yosemite Sam special
written
by Jimmy
Palmiotti.
How could
that not happen? That is,
like,
that is
this
the
one,
best.
This one makes a little more sense.
It's so good. It's so good. Okay, right.
When minor Yosemite Sam strikes it rich, word gets out as everyone comes gunning for his wealth, including the notorious Freling Gang. I'm not sure about the name there. But to protect himself and his new riches, he hires bounty hunter Jonah Hex. But the man protecting him may be his own worst nightmare.
I know. I love it.
I feel weird just reading all of these.
Just do it. It's good.
The Legion of Superheroes / Bugs Bunny Wine.
I wasn't that interested at first, but then when I saw the cover was brilliant enough. You know I'm buying it. It's Legion. I love Legion.
I don't know if they've got the cover.
Yeah there right it is. Here. It's right there. Oh, yeah.
Superman. And so it says, the Legion of Superheroes always thought they had taken their inspiration from the 21st century's Superboy. But when they try to bring that hero into their future time, the team discovers to their surprise the caped champion isn't who or even what they expected. So it's going to be Bugs Bunny. Yeah.
Okay, so that's not as good as the first two, but I'm buying it.
Yeah. All right. What about the Lobo Roadrunner?
Definitely. 100% in for this.
Wile E. Coyote travels to the far reaches of space to hire Lobo to hunt down and kill his greatest nemesis of all time, the Roadrunner.
Well, his Acme products weren't doing it.
No.
It's a little bit up. So
these are one shots?
They're all one shots, yeah.
One shots.
I only have two words to say about that last one. Just simply meep, meep. All right? Meep. Awesome. I'm so in.
Then they're all out in June, too. Mm-hmm. And they look like 48-page specials for all of them.
Oh, okay. Take my money, DC.
So they'll be $5.99.
They're going to take your money. Now, yeah. The Martian Manhunter, Marvin the Martian.
Yes. Yes.
The write-up on this one is hilarious.
I know.
Martian Manhunter tries to halt Marvin the Martian's determination for world domination. John is conflicted with his own Martian identity as he attempts to stop the hapless, determined Marvin from blowing Earth to bits in order to gain a clear view of Venus.
The only thing that could be better than that is if the Great Gazoo shows up.
And then the last one is the Wonder Woman Tasmanian Devil special.
The one I'm not buying.
Yeah, and the write-up isn't even any good.
This one looks really stupid.
Not since the 12 labors of Hercules has a Greek warrior faced as great a danger and as destructive a peril as a Tasmanian Devil. Like, did they get a different writer for that blurb? Because it's just not up to the same standards
as
the rest.
All I can say is, meh.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting about these is when they did the first round of annuals and I kind of read them, none of them interested me at all. I thought they were weird and wacky, but none of them interested me. And then there was but these ones, for whatever reason, it's like, this is just gold. I didn't say it was good, but it's gold. All right?
Yeah, we talked about them one of the other weeks when they had just released the covers.
Yeah.
But they didn't have the Wonder Woman or the Legion.
Yeah, but yeah, I think it's great. And I'd like where are they going? What are they going to do next? Like, I hope they keep it up with some of these. I hope these all sell, though, so they'll, I don't know. I can't even imagine, I don't know, like the Jetsons and Booster Gold or... it might be a little too obscure, but like Captain Caveman and Anthro. Remember, Anthro? Yeah. We're getting to around to that point where we got to revive Anthro or it's going to go back into the public domain. Now's the time.
Well, those Looney Tunes covers they did last year that DC did, but they were just covers.
Yeah.
But some of those were great.
Sure.
Marvin the Martian with all the lantern rings on his fingers.
Yeah. I bought a couple of those covers. I mean, I remember I definitely went for the Black Canary cover, where it was Black Canary rested in a lineup with
Foghorn Leghorn.
It was like where Tweety was turned. You know, when Tweety was turned into the monster. And,
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Catwoman one.
The Catwoman one was good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, I'm in. I think some of these look like a riot. I'm really excited, and I'm still, as I said, I'm definitely buying that Snagglepuss miniseries. But like we talked before, is I'm sure somewhere there is a Hanna-Barbera fan diehard who is having a brain aneurysm over this, going hashtag not my Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah.
Right. So I should, you know, I think it's great, but I'm, you know, I don't want to take it away from that fan. I feel your pain. I'm still spending my money on it, but I feel your pain.
A lot of these crossovers are, some of them are kind of not good, but I mean, Green Lantern and the Planet of the Apes one, so far that's great.
Yeah, but that's not Hanna-Barbera.
No, but I mean in general, when they crossover.
Oh, yeah, sometimes it's fantastic. Yeah. I'm going to buy that and trade when it's done.
Yeah.
It looks great. No, I'm not saying, I'm just saying that, the kind of the update they did, like on the
Scooby-Doo and stuff, yeah.
I could see people having some issues with it, but, there's always time for a good crossover.
Yeah.
There's always
time I read the first couple issues of Scooby-Doo. I didn't read any of the other ones. How different, like, how are they different than...
Dan?
I've only read like up to issue 5 or 6, but I'm still getting it. I just fell behind.
But what about the other ones, like Flintstones? And
The problem I have with the Flintstones is Marty was reading that for a while. Flintstone. I don't want to read anything where Fred Flintstone looks like John Goodman.
Yeah.
Like, I just have a hard time with the art update on that. I want them to look like, again, it's just like my whole Archie thing. I kind of want them to look like I want them to look, but, Yeah, I'm funny that way. I know I tried to read Future's Quest, and that was just a giant mess. It made no sense. So
isn't there one based on the racers, too? What do they call wacky races?
Yeah, isn't it like Death Race 2000 Wacky Edition or something?
Something like that.
Okay. Yeah.
So you guys haven't been.
No, I haven't those. Been.
Not the other ones, no.
No.
Did you get the new Chapter House books, Chris?
No, I did not.
What Chapter House books have come out?
Freelance and Agents of Pact.
Okay, so I have Freelance ordered. It'll be my first foray into that universe.
All right. Well, here's a high five, right, Sam. High five. Boom. Welcome to the team.
I have not bought it yet because I've not been to the comic store in 2 weeks.
I haven't been down to pick mine up either. So
I'm going Tuesday. If you want to come with me Tuesday,
I am working.
That sucks.
Yes.
All right.
The unfortunate thing with Chapter House is that I can't walk into a store and buy it off the shelf.
Yeah.
Like, I got Sam at Great Guardian Games ordering me Die Kitty Die, which is cool, but I can't find anything else unless I order it, right? Mm-hmm. So, well, that being said, there was a store in St. Catharines that had some on the shelves, but that's nowhere near us, unfortunately. So,
well, it's worth a road trip.
Yeah, I'm going tomorrow
past Oshawa, to St. Catharines.
But have you guys noticed any stores like Another World or GNU or anything that have them on the shelves?
No, come to think of it, I really don't. No.
Right. Oh, I might have to do a big order from Chapter House or something.
Yeah.
Or maybe at Toronto Comic Con in a couple weeks.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm looking forward to that. I'm coming now, eh? Did I tell you I'm coming?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't planning on going, and now I'm coming, and I'm really excited. Yeah. I haven't been to a comic show since the last one. So it's been over a year. It's been a year since I've been to a comic show. Just because of my life and the way my schedule went, I'm planning on going to 2 comic shows this year now. So, and that's going to be one of them. But, of course, the reason I'm going to Toronto Comic Con isn't any... Oh, you know who's going to be there I'm really excited about? Peter Baggy's going to be there. Peter Baggy is one of my favorite comic guys that I've never met. He's one of my few guys that I've never met. He does... his most famous book is a book from the 90s called Hate, with a character named Buddy Bradley. And when I was in the 90s working at a comic store, I remember I worked for this guy, Ted Fortiatis. You, of course, remember Ted. And Ted gave me a graphic novel of hate books. And he was like, you know what, read this. And I took one look at the art, and I was like, I don't know.
Sure, I'll put it over here.
So anyways, but I read it, and the stories were so funny, and the characters were so sophisticated that it was just hilarious, and I got really addicted to it. And every time Peter Baggy puts out something, he's an acquired taste. You got to get past the art.
Yeah.
Well, once you start reading his stuff, his art, you realize his art's actually really pretty. It's really beautiful to look at. It's very, very detailed. It's just very stylized. He comes from the school, like the Robert Crumb School of Art, or the Rat Fink School of Art, right? Yeah. Like that's his art's a cross between Rat Fink and Robert Crumb. And Baggy, now he hasn't had any hits lately, but I've never met the guy. Mm-hmm. And when I wasn't coming going because of him, but when I saw he was on the guest list, like if I had realized that, I may have just been going for him, like because I've never met him. That's so exciting to me is seeing Peter Baggy there. Yeah.
But hopefully, instead, you're going for the Junior High.
The Degrassi reunion. Junior High reunion, yes. Yes, that's why I'm going to be there.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, hopefully, Chapter House will have a booth there.
They will for sure. Yeah. Like, you know, usually they have a bunch of the artists and, like, you know, Jason Liu and Andrew Thomas is going to be there. And, you know.
Well, hopefully, they'll have those two issues there then.
Sure it's going to be a fun day, guys. I mean, it's been a while since I've done that with you. Well, as I said, it will be a year since I've been to a comic show with you guys. So
it'll be a year since I got off the train in Toronto and heard, Dan Collins, is that you? Because you were sitting in the train car behind me for the whole ride.
It'll be a year since I met your wife.
Yeah.
And there never met her again.
You're not going to meet her this time, but.
Oh, man.
So speaking of just Toronto and because I mentioned Andrew Thomas, I'll just segue again into Auric doing its Kickstarter. And we talked about the fact that it already achieved its Kickstarter, but just as a update on how awesome they're doing, I have when I can pull it up. Too quick. There you go. So there's a week left in the Kickstarter, and they've done $3,140, and their goal was $2,600. So they're
great,
500 plus above their goal.
Good.
So that'll be awesome.
They deserve that.
Yeah, I can't wait.
I've been watching some of Andrew's art online right now, and God, his stuff's just so good.
Yeah,
it's just so good. We were talking at one point about doing a commission, but it got a little out of my price range. I'm still thinking about it. I just had to cancel a trip to California, so I suddenly do have another $2,000 at my disposal.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So
I can draw you a picture for that.
There you go.
I should start to think about maybe some original arts if I'm. I don't know. Ever since I bought all that Archie art from Fan Expo, that I didn't actually go to Fan Expo, but I still shelled out way. You know,
But it was worth it, though, wasn't it?
Oh God, yeah. No regrets. No regrets.
Oh boy.
One day I hope I have a place big enough that I can actually frame them all and have them up so you can actually go and read the story.
You do, but there's other stuff in the way.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in the way.
So you could always take down several hundred photographs and put those up.
What are you saying that my place has too much stuff up?
No, it's very like when you walk into your place, you're just like awestruck by all the stuff you've got up on those walls.
Yeah, that's what people usually people come up and they're just looking at walls for the I can't even
like get literally you spend the whole time just looking like at the different pictures.
It's all right.
Yes,
because one day tours.
I did actually one time Czechs Television came to do an episode at my house just to film my house. It's true. Michelle Ferrari came over. That was back in the day when she was working there. It's still, you can find it on YouTube. Like it is on YouTube. The episode where Czechs Daily comes to Sam's house is on YouTube. At one point, Michelle Ferrari puts on my Doctor Who fez and dances to Sugar Sugar. Had a complaint for my jukebox. It really happens. So, anyway.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Yeah. You can see it. She's a gem. I like her. She's fun. Good people. All right. And you guys want to know what's going on in Luann?
I mean,
it's like literally.
Ooh, yeah, I do.
Look at the time.
You know what's funny is you did a couple of episodes with me. where I wasn't even on it, and you guys talked more about Luann than I have in weeks.
Because apparently there was a missing TV, and that's all I know.
Oh, my God. I sat at home listening to that episode, and I just howled and howled. And, of course, you guys are blotching it all out because you guys don't really know. But the thing is,
well, we try.
But the fact that you tried made me feel so happy. It was like, oh, they try. And it's funny because I know none of you guys have actually read Luann ever. Like, have any of you ever read?
I couldn't pick her out of the lineup.
No. Okay, so anyway. Right now in Luann, they're all over the place. Like, they don't seem to know what they want to be doing. Like, one week they're doing one thing, one week they're doing another thing. I'm just going to focus on one plot today instead of bringing it out, but I'm going to talk about the plot with Les and Prue. Now, Prue is Luann's friend who's gay. And Les used to be the school bully at Luann's school, but now he's working at the restaurant owned by Luann's parents, which Prue also works at. Well, anyways, Les, I don't know, he's kind of a tough guy, and he's not a really nice guy, but he kind of trying to kind of change it over a new leaf. He's trying to be a little warmer, a little kinder, a little nicer, but that's because he's in love with Prue, and he hasn't figured out she's gay. Yeah, so, and she's completely kind of, I don't know, man. She's really leading him on, and she's starting this theater company. Les is trying to get involved, and I'll tell you, there's heartache is on its way to Luann. And you know, when Les gets his heart broken because he's kind of a bad guy,
Is he going to go postal?
I don't know if he's going to go postal. But
as I tap on the book that you brought,
well, I know, but we're talking about Luann right now.
Okay.
It was much better than this book. Okay. Things are going to be pretty sad, but there's a few things I do want to talk about Luann right now, and there's some exciting things with Luann. First of all, I talked about how they have the new website, Luann Again, out, which is old Luann strips from about 10, 15 years ago. You can go, they have a new Luann site called Luann in Espanol. Okay. So if you're Spanish and you want to read Luann, there is now a Luann site in Spanish for you. So, there you go. So that's
all right.
And I'm not covering everything. I'm not covering everything. There's more going on, but that's just that's what I want to talk about. So, yeah, I was sick this week and I read this book, Postal. You guys ever read Postal?
No.
Postal?
No.
It is a fantastic series by Image Comics, and unfortunately, I'm reading it by trade. So I finally got volume 3 and 4. And it is by Matt Hawkins and Brian Hill, I believe, is the artist. I don't know for sure, though. I don't know who all these people are. But anyways, Matt Hawkins writes it, and it's a really great series. And I really enjoyed the last two trades. So it's been done in 4 trades. I don't know how many issues. But it's literally about a little town in Wyoming called Eden. And basically what it is, the FBI sends its kind of killers and ex-cons to live in Eden, and they kind of have to self-govern themselves, and the FBI kind of lets them sort of live there, and
they're like retired.
Well, they're not all retired. Like, no? They're different ages. Okay. Right, like it's a little town, but they do self-govern themselves, and they kind of stay in Eden. Of course, when you got a bunch of killers and psychos and sociopaths,
it's one big happy picnic.
Yeah, right. So the town is run by a woman, and her name is she's the mayor. Her name is Laura Schifrin, and her son, who is the star of the series, is this guy named Mark Schifrin, and he has a high autism, and he's the postal inspector, and that's where postal comes.
Okay.
All right. So, but he's like this super genius, almost sociopath. But, like, he's a good kid. And the more you get to know him, the more you realize he seems like the nicest character in the show. Like, not showing the book. Like, he, even though he has, you know, he's highly autistic and it's through his eyes. But I'm starting, once you get to issue 4, or the 4th graphic novel, you realize as much as you still like him, he's actually probably the most dangerous and the most craziest. And third book dealt with a young teenage girl coming to the town who falls in love with Mark and tries to take out the woman he loves, and how nice. Mark gets back. And in this in the 4th series, it's all about a war that starts being made up by an ex-KKK member who has turned over a new leaf and is no longer anti-Semitic and not just anti-Semitic, but
racist,
right? And all that. He's given up a new leaf. Well, how his old he was in a bit of a war in prison over all this kind of stuff, and his past comes back to haunt him. And basically, Mark and his mother and the town have to back up this ex-KKK guy. But then do they want to? Most of them want to abandon him because he's KKK. Yeah. Or he was.
Was, yeah.
It's really, this character is so complex because you read what his original crime was and you're like, that is so not cool. But then you read about why he changed his leaf, and even though it's still not cool because he's an awful person, you're like, would you stand behind him or would you not when they're coming to get him, right? And again, like very, very complex storylines. It's dark, but it's really well written. And the characters, again, it's the three-dimensionalness of these characters, because you don't know if you love them or hate them. You kind of both. They're all terrible people, but they have kind of heart.
Yeah.
Terrible people with heart.
Terrible people with heart.
Terrible people with heart.
Hmm.
Name a few other terrible people with heart. Can we
Negan.
Name a few? Negan. True. That's a good point. That's a good point. You know? Yeah. Reggie Mantle.
Yeah.
There we go. Yeah. So anyways, that was Postal. Postal Luann. That's all I read this week.
There you go.
Postal and Luann, which is like the total spectrum of the two, right? It's like, you know, Luann and Tiffany's been trading barbs about boys all week, and then I read this story about these people trying to protect a KKK guy. It's like, that's light and the dark. It's the yin and the yang. That's my comic book collecting, man. It's the yin and the yang. You need the lightness with the dark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, although not comic related, I think we should give a little shout out to Mr. Bill Paxton.
Yeah. That was a shocker, huh?
It was shocking.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, we've seen him for a long time, from Weird Science, you know, Aliens, Terminator,
Twister.
Right? Yeah, it's just very sad news.
He was in Titanic?
Yeah, he was in the present day. They were on the ship above doing the research.
I only saw that movie once.
Yeah, so basically the first part of the movie where they had old Rose.
I don't remember him being in that.
Yeah, but they were the scientific team looking for the Titanic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, that's the thing. That's what happens. Like, it's just 2016 repeating itself.
Yeah.
You know, but I think it was Marty it might have been my friend Vern Pickford who said that it's just really a part of our age.
Yeah.
We're getting older. Our icons are all dying.
Yeah.
And we're not getting new icons because our kids are.
That's right.
Like, but we don't care about our children's icons. So as
not
we
really.
as we keep growing older,
yeah,
more and more people that are attached to our soul are going to leave us, and it's going to get worse. It's only going to get worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who do you think? Who do you guys think? I think the next one's going to be Wilford Brimley.
I don't know.
The guy's 102. He was 102 in 1986.
Yeah, that's right.
He was 102 in 1966.
He has diabetes.
Yeah. But, I mean, Bill Paxton, he gave us, I mean, he, the writers, whatever, but he gave us some one-liners that just go on and on and
give,
on.
Give us one.
Like the, I'm thinking Aliens. I always get it wrong. Your grinning and drop your linen. I found them or something like that. Right?
I just wanted to hear you say it.
Yeah. It's game over, man. It's game over.
Speaking of game over, it's show over. So on that note, we'll end this episode.
All right.
Good night.
Night.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like The Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics radio show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?
Hi, this is Fat Eagle Smith, and you're listening to Trent Radio CFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFF